Views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Hello, my darlings, and welcome back to Radio Wasteland. I'm your host, Chauncey Haworth, and this is my co-host, Sean.
Hello.
How are you doing, Sean?
Not bad. Not bad at all.
It's been a crazy week.
It really has. And I assume you're talking pretty much about the events of last night.
Yeah, that. but then also, you know, you got Rex Tillerson going over to North Korea saying, hey, we're going to work it out, and Donald Trump saying there's no point. And then you also got today, I guess, Tom Petty had a heart attack. He may or may not be dead.
Oh, right. Yeah. I guess a couple things happened.
Yeah.
But honestly, the Tillerson Trump thing, at this point, I just chalk that up to crazy things Trump did. It's just, you know, background noise. It's the screensaver.
Really? You've been desensitized to... the situation going
How can
on.
You not? I mean, John Oliver goes on Last Week Tonight and says, repeat this to yourself, this isn't normal. But I was like, apparently it's normal now. You know, it's unprecedented, but it sure is normal.
It's the new normal, point. You know. Yeah. He's either just loopy crazy or incredibly intelligent, because the distraction, you know, the drawing attention away from other things is really quite impressive. I mean, and we do live in a world where we're inundated with this sort of media and sales and stuff like that. And, you know, maybe to have a president who does that is with the times.
Yeah, you know, I've heard that a lot, and I agree to some extent. I think he's kind of a mix of both things you just said. I think he has spent his entire life being a self-promoter, mm-hmm. and basically professionally, like, that's what he does. His brand is this whole thing, and so he's gotten very good at it, and frankly, he's learned the weapons of self-promotion that are used in business that have not until now been used in politics.
Yeah, but he's not the first. You know, Obama's second run was considered the first election that truly was won via social media.
That is true.
You know, so, I mean, this is the new world.
Yeah.
You know, I know we live in a world where everybody is political, man. Everybody's on the left, and they're all rah, 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 and everybody's on the right, and they're rah, 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 and they're doing their thing. So I really like to...
That's a good sum up of the situation.
Yeah, yeah, they sound like barking monkeys, you know. but I really like to, I like to poke both of them with a stick.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of fun. And so this shooting situation in Vegas definitely leaves me with an opinion that kind of pokes both sides with a stick.
Yeah. And, me too, honestly.
You know, my general thought on it is that guns are not the problem. And that's poking the left with the stick. Okay. I don't see guns as being the problem. But to poke the right with the stick, I see mental illness as being the problem. So, I'm kind of like a...
Yeah.
Like to poke both of them. Get in there.
Here's what I think. I mean, there have been a lot of shootings, obviously. There's been Virginia Tech, Sandy Hook. I was actually at the shooting down in Santa Barbara.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was a few blocks away. Heard gunshots. Crazy. So, yeah, it was crazy. But the thing is, after that, I just kind of like, oh, it's the normal Isla Vista gang violence. And so I went back to my dorm room, and I fell asleep. And in the morning, I received, you know, dozens of frantic messages, you know, are you still alive? And the funny thing is, you know, there's a mass shooting and a white guy did it. And, you know, that's crazy. But every, you know, violence was very common in Isla Vista already. And kind of, I guess what I'm trying to say is, I think we have as a society have decided that we're not going to take any action, whether it's on guns or mental health or anything else, to prevent these shootings. And, you know, we've kind of made that decision. And whether that's going to change, I don't know. But I think, frankly, I think the culture at the moment of the left and the right doesn't allow for any change to the current situation.
Yeah, it's definitely a stalemate.
Yeah, so
I... You know, because the left is saying, hey, get rid of the guns.
Right.
And, you know, personally, I'm sure anybody who's listened to this has figured out that I'm a little bit left in my thinkings.
Sure.
But I do come from a small town, and there's one of... I do have several belief systems that are very much right, so I am not fully left. One belief system that I have is that guns aren't really a problem. I come from a town where there are a lot of guns and there is not a lot of shooting. I used to live in Arizona, and anybody who was not a felon could carry an exposed sidearm at the time. And when I was in a grocery store or a, you know, convenience store and somebody shady came in, I'd think, oh, no, is something going to go on? And then I realized that the seven guys behind me all had pistols. And I was fairly confident the place was not going to get robbed at that moment.
Right.
You know, so, and then wasn't there a church shooting here recently where the shooter was stopped by somebody who was carrying a sidearm? So it's sure. Like, you know, it's a, so that's one of my, you know, and I think we were talking about this a little bit last week about how I think that most Americans are somewhere in between.
I think that's true.
Are somewhere in between the left and right, and everybody's just so caught up in this kind of left and right thing. So I really hope we figure something out and move forward.
Well, you know, mass shootings grab the attention, but as I was saying earlier, they're part of a much larger thing. You know, think about terrorism. Think about how few people die every year from, like, foreign terrorists and what we've done to try to prevent that. You know, we've spent a crazily disproportionate amount of money on that, and I kind of feel the same way about shootings, honestly. Like, not that many people a year die in mass shootings compared to, like, gun suicides.
Yeah, but the number is going up.
The number is certainly going up, but the number of, you know...
And it's going up drastically.
The number of everything else when you're talking about, you know, violence, when you're talking about guns, you know, that also goes up, generally.
Yeah,
you know,
but most other deaths are self-inflicted, you know, like, you have a heart attack, you probably didn't leave a very healthy life, you know, you get cancer, you know, maybe you smoked.
I'm talking about
a car wreck,
deaths.
Maybe you were drinking, you know.
You know, I'm talking about gun deaths. Crime as a whole is down, but violent crime is actually up.
Yeah.
In all categories. So, and all in all, you know, I'd rather we pour our time and attention into heart disease, frankly.
Well, that's enough of this.
Yes, of this tomfoolery.
Of this reality. Let's go to the real reality behind the curtain, and that is tonight, our guests, vampires.
Yep. As anyone who has met me knows, I love vampires, and I've been lobbying hard for this for a long time. So, you know, I love vampire fiction. I love... Well, I guess there's not else a lot besides vampire fiction.
Up until tonight.
Up until right now,
right,
yeah.
Up until tonight, vampire fiction.
I've never met a real-life vampire, but I, you know, I love Let the Right One In. I have vampiric fantasies of all kinds. So,
yeah,
you know.
If there is any reality to vampires, frankly, I would just assume not meet them in person.
Right.
I feel a little safer on the... But I don't know. Maybe we'll find out tonight that we have nothing to fear.
Right. I think we're most likely going to be told that, you know, vampires are really just normal people when you get right down to it. But, you know...
Normal people in top hats and round glasses.
That's right.
All right. You're listening to Radio Wasteland. When we come back, we have our guest, Damien, the vampire.
Tonight. Not all solar companies are the same. Neither are all solar installations. Hi, I'm Bruce Blake, president of Powerhouse Solar. Your solar design should be based upon what gives your family the best results, not what is easiest to install. Ground rack, roof mount, sun tracker, you name it. Powerhouse Solar does it all, but not all solar companies offer all these options. Powerhouse Solar is a SunPower Elite dealer, which means your family is getting the best, most efficient solar panel on the market, combined with a system design and installation that fits your exact energy needs. And let's face it, a cookie cutter system can not only cost you more in the long run, but be less efficient. Since 2003, Powerhouse Solar has been your solar energy expert. Let us design the perfect SunPower solar energy system for your family. Call Powerhouse Solar today and let us show you how to get the power of the sun working for you.
Call Powerhouse Solar at 275-5600 or visit them on the web at powerhousesolar.com.
The value of banking local comes in being able to walk into the lobby, see the president, and be called by your first name, knowing that lending decisions are made locally by people you call neighbor or serve alongside when supporting a worthy cause. There's confidence in knowing that when you place your trust in Cornerstone Community Bank, you not only help yourself, you support the town you call home. Stop by one of our Reading or Red Bluff branches or visit us online at bankcornerstone.com. Cornerstone Community Bank, we invite you to experience how we are moving local dreams forward.
This is Carl in the Bot, and there is only one place you will find a new Sleep Number Dual Temp Layer Bed. That's right, Sleep Number in Reading. Be sure to go in and see them in a Target shopping center next to the Vitamin Shop. My Sleep Number is 40, and I feel great.
Right now, they're making room, so go in and receive huge savings on all Sleep Number memory foam and I-Series bed sets. My Sleep Number is 55. Go find yours today. Sleep Number in the Target Center next to the Vitamin Shop.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
Hi, this is Dan Beans, director of the Reading Electric Utility. REU is celebrating National Public Power Week October 1st through the 7th. Please join us at our open house on Friday, October 6th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at our offices located at 3611 Abtec Parkway. There will be free bucket truck rides, pole climbing and tree trimming demonstrations, and much more. Food trucks will be on site and all REU customers will receive a $5 food truck voucher. Let's celebrate our nonprofit community-owned utility. For more information, call 339-7200.
You can take us with you anytime, anywhere, live with our streaming audio feed at kcnr1460.com.
The world is a vampire. Sent to drain.
Secret. All right, and welcome back to Radio Wasteland, and we are here with our guests. Damien, are you on the line with us?
Yes, I am.
How are you doing?
Yes. So far, and I brought JP with me.
And we got JP. And Baron?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right. Yeah. So, you know, you guys, welcome to Radio Wasteland. This is actually a topic we've been chasing for quite some time, but we haven't been able to...
It's hard to round up vampires, strangely.
So
I find it,
yeah, I can vouch for that.
It's like rounding up cats.
Yeah, cat herding. Yeah, totally. So I guess I got to start with the question we always start with, and that is, how did this start for you? Maybe we start with Damien. How did this start for you, Damien?
Roughly about 30 years ago.
Yeah, he's a lot older than I am. It's been about 17 years for me.
Yeah, I know I have a young-sounding voice, and I also sound like small, but I'm not young and I'm not small.
Oh, that's
funny. He's definitely all small.
So, so is one turn
around,
or is one
roughly born? Around 30 years ago, plus 30 plus years ago in the 80s, before you know the Lost Boys came out, and Near Dark came out. I was living in San Jose, and I met a girl, and the girl basically was informing me that I was a vampire, and helped me through the beginning, or actually I could say almost pushed me through it. the beginning of an awakening into it, where I was in a whole lot of denial, because, I mean, who really wants to hear from anybody that you're something that you don't really believe?
Right.
And then, you know, need to deal with something like drinking blood. After that, essentially, I've been in the community offline first and then online in the 90s, on, you know, meeting different people before going into the internet, and the internet just made things different. You get a lot more fakes in the internet, but you still get fakes in real life, too. Between her and then I had a mentor, which is something now that I have an advantage over a lot of the kids now, because a lot of times people are just, you know, coming to this and they're starting to feel different and starting to, you know, discover, you know, they have needs and things, and not having, you know, the idea of what it is and having to find, you know, stumble through it and find out when, you know, and then needing to find themselves somebody who can point them in the, you know, right direction. Unfortunately, a lot of those people that are the fakes are out there trying to mentor people too, trying to help supposedly. But, you know, you can tell the difference between somebody who's trying to legitimately help you and somebody who's, you know, got motives. Well, and unfortunately, there's a lot of motives for in this community.
I'm sure with the
got lots of kings and queens, and they're on the opposite end of the food chain. But
I'm sure with the you know, the community being probably heavily online now, there's probably a big difference between having a mentor in person and having a mentor online.
Well, yeah. Well, first off, you know, there's the old, we used to say a long time ago, one knows one. And let's all face it, and you know, Darren, I think, will agree with me, and JP might as well, is there are people that you meet that are supposed to be, and they don't even blip the radar. You don't have any feeling that, you know, that they're anything. You know, they're just somebody saying, you know, oh, they're a vampire and whatnot.
Right. So from you saying this, you know, does that mean that one is born a vampire, you're not turned?
The turning is something that is fictional, just like, you know, vampires burning up in the sun.
So that part's not true.
Because, I mean, if you look at it in a sense of logic, you're going to find it very difficult to prove that somebody would be able to turn somebody logically, because then you would have something ultimately easy to tell that would be ultimately different.
Because I like most people, my vampiric knowledge comes from films. Now, I am a self-proclaimed horror historian, so I might have a little more vampire knowledge than the average Joe, sure. but still, it comes from a purely fictitious standpoint, which is, you know, evil and at best sexy and murderous, you know, but still, you know.
Well, there's a logic against that one, too, as well, but if we look at it this way, this is an easy logic for you. Let's say something was around, some people were drinking blood, some people were taking energy. You know, this has been going on for thousands of years. If you want to go and say, let's go to the, you know, recorded history. Mm-hmm. It's recorded history. There's statements in ancient Sumeria about, you know, vampires, and without using the word vampire, because, you know, the word vampire is not actually that old in the first place. But it's been used, and it's the most popular one. Everybody seems to know it. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is why in some cultures there's not really a word for it. They've had to come up with their own word, like Japan and China's hopping ghosts or blood drinking ghosts and whatnot. Mm. The legends and stuff. I mean, there's some parts. It's like this. It's like somebody said something and said, "Hey, this guy's drinking blood," and then they go, "That guy, whatever." And then he says, "Oh, well, he turned into a wolf," and what, you know, you start getting these people start making it a little bit, you know, more interesting.
Right.
They start exaggerating in the story, and then next story, and then next thing you know, you have a super supernatural person, just like ninjas.
Yeah, I guess that's true. There are ninjas, but most of them, you know, don't shoot you know, have Nimbus clouds and shoot whatever it is they do in Dragon
Ball.
They don't
fly. They're not really truly 100% invisible.
Right. So
they're not demons, you know, either.
So,
but
I've heard
if
that
you wanted it to, if you look at it this way, if you wanted to inspire fear in other people, so that people would, you know, keep a distance from you, for people to be saying that a demon showed up in a village and was breathing fire, there's a technique in ninjutsu called yogin. That's the chemistry aspect of it. That's how they did the breathing fire business. And they would wear a demon mask or Tengu mask or, you know, a variety of these other things to inspire fear, because it was a quicker thing to scare people out of a village with a fire-breathing demon than it was to say, hey, everybody, you need to go.
Right. So earlier you said something about sucking energy, and I think I heard at one point that there were multiple types of vampires.
There's essentially really three types of vampire.
Okay.
The reason I say that is because... almost all of different subsections of the vampire essentially cover psychic vampirism. They're just various forms of energy that these people are being more specific with. So you have basically a sanguine vampire, which is what I am. You have hybrids or universal vampires, which is essentially what I brought with me, JP and Baron.
And what does that mean?
And then you have people that are just psychic vampires that don't really have any use for blood or desire for blood. Occasionally, some of those people want to try it or whatever, but I never recommend it.
What does the universal vampire mean?
Universal feeder.
Universal feeder.
They can feed on either blood and or energy, or both at the same time.
I see.
So, I'm sure they would get a better feed if they were feeding on both.
So as a sanguine, as a sanguine for our audience, sanguine is blood. And so as a sanguine vampire, does that mean you'll die without it?
Well, I try to take care of myself in such a level with maintaining feeding. And if I'm in between feeding, I'm supplementing animal blood. While I'm doing this and taking care of myself, it would appear that I don't really get sick. And I'm not talking about, like, I stay away from sick people either. I mean, I've been exposed to mono. I've been exposed to whatever flus, you know, that have been around me, people taking care of the other people around me that are sick. And when I say mono, I kiss that girl.
Right.
I did more, but I did more than kiss the girl, but I was exposed to it, you know, back in the day. It's been years. I haven't been sick since the Northridge quake, which is, like, 1994. Or 95, I can't remember which particular year, but that was the last time I got sick. And that was during a time where I was, had just gotten a new girlfriend and I hadn't necessarily explained my situation to her. Because that's something difficult to do. You know, I know you like me and everything, and, you know, I'm a little different than other people, but, you know, by the way, I need to drink blood or I get sick.
Right.
My health fades, my nails become more brittle, my hair becomes less shiny and more brittle, my skin dries out more, other problems that I have that seem to be held perfectly at bay apparently during the times that I'm taking care of myself, you know, kick in, migraines, more apt to have a breakout of eczema.
Okay.
Anything possibly wrong with me? Aches and pains that you know, my knees hurt more or whatever. My back hurts more. Then occasional times I get racked with pain.
We're coming up on the first break here, so we're going to have to cut you off.
Yeah, we're coming up on the first break, but stick around. And thank you for joining us. You're listening to Radio Wasteland. Come on back.
After we inspected a vehicle with a driving problem, I called the insurance company, Don Steck, for Coachmaster Collision Repair. The insurance adjuster seemed skeptical because the vehicle had recently been repaired, so I invited him to inspect it. The first area was only 1/8 inch off, as was the second. He said, I don't see a problem. Each area is within tolerance. Tolerance is accumulative, I said. This car is 1/4 inch short on one side, and that will amplify over the length of the car. When measured the full length, the wheels will not align. Accumulative damage is often not understood. He said he would check with the shop to do the repair. He called later and said, they are frustrated, because no matter how perfect they make it, Coachmaster can always make it better. I replied, if we can make it better, it was not perfect. Coachmaster, Collision Repair, Redding, California.
There's an older animal at Haven Humane who lost his loving home just waiting for you to come rescue him. PALS Fund is available to supplement the cost if you lack the funds to adopt a loving companion, and right now Blindsided is making a donation to this fund with every window covering order. Donations to this fund continue to provide homes for these older pets and honor the memory of this amazing deaf Dalmatian that provided me love and companionship until his passing over 10 years ago.
For window coverings, contact Blindsided today at 945-3969.
Tuesday on KCNR 1460's Free Fire Radio, our featured guest will be Angela Jones, Executive Director of One Safe Place, dedicated to the idea that no one should have to live with domestic abuse. We will also discuss the aftermath of the tragic Las Vegas shootings as more facts come to light, and new scams being set out on Facebook Messenger that you need to know about. Tuesday, Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 and streaming live at KCNR1460.com. Miss a day, miss a lot.
I'm Dr. Nancy Sutton Pierce, the host of the Conscious Living Show, every Saturday, 11 to noon, here on KCNR 1460. You'll laugh, cry, and perhaps be shocked by my frank and honest conversations. I often team up with my husband, Dr. Mark Pierce, and no one makes me squirm or giggle quite like he can. We are the yin-yang, east-west, of most topics, yet you can always feel the love and respect between us. Visit DrNancySuttonPierce.com to keep this conversation going.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
It's Lady Bot and the Bluebirds, October 5th, in Overtime Lounge at Wind River Resort and Casino. Hi, this is Linda Bot. Come join me from 6:30 to 8:30, along with Cleveland Bonet on keyboards, Bruce Kalin on bass, and Bobby Verimontis on drums. That's this Thursday in Overtime Lounge, 6:30 to 8:30, Lady Bot and the Bluebirds. See you there.
Learn more about our shows and hosts. Check us out online at kcnr1460.com.
All right. Welcome back to Radio Wasteland.
And our guests, Damien, JP, and Baron. Do I have those names correct?
Yep. Yeah, I usually go by Baron Vaughn, but Baron works.
All right. Baron Vaughn?
And I actually go by D because it's a lot easier to yell help D than it is to yell help Damien.
Right. So I guess I'm sure you guys get asked this all the time, but for our listeners, it's new. What, Sean, how do I ask this?
What vampire myths are real and what aren't? Yeah. I think that's the meat of the thing that most people want
to
know.
Way to sum it up. Yes, that's that's what we want to know.
Well, obviously, nothing's immortal. All things die. Some set of vampires believe that they're reincarnated a few of us think that there might be some genetic memory linked into it, and but it's all depending on how supernatural I think the people are trying to push it. I believe it's very natural, not supernatural. But at the same time, I'm not pushing into 100% of the medsaying belief system, because a lot of those people seem to be dicks.
So I assume turning into wolves and bats is out.
Well, I believe the allure is one of the
probably with enough LSD, you could probably do it. They do that in Texas.
I appreciate your candor.
or if you really want it bad enough, I think a lot of people will lie to themselves, because there's a lot of people pushing the occult factor. Mm-hmm. Since vampirism isn't a choice, it doesn't really matter what religion you choose. I mean, I've had a bunch of people trying to act like they need to be satanic. You don't need to be satanic. I mean, it's like a fad thing. When I first came in the community like 30 years ago, there was a whole bunch of Catholics and Christian vampires. Granted, though, this is self-loathing, but at the same time, that's the religion that was popular. And during, was it part of the 90s, you had a lot more Wiccans popping up and pagan vampires popping up. And then, but you've had since the late 70s, probably, since that's when part of the vampire occult movements popped up, spin-offs from the Church of Satan, like the Order of the Vampire or the Temple of Set, and additional copies of that on top of it with the Church of the Vampire, Temple of the Vampire, not Church of the Vampire. Church of the Vampire is different. So you have all these things popping up, and these people are believing that you can stand in the mirror and stare at yourself long enough to decide you're a vampire. I think that's when you got fanged.
So I guess one of the myths that's out is the reflection. You guys got reflections. What about the teeth?
Oh, I came up with a thing a long time ago about that, because a lot of people kept asking me that over the years. You know, the few friends that I lean in on it, and then, of course, the donors that had to know it before, you know, feeding on them. I called it shaving cream theory. And the theory was, simply put, is this, is the whole reason that vampires were supposed to not have reflections was because we're supposed to not have a soul. But I like to think I have more soul than a can of shaving cream, which does have a reflection.
Yeah, that's true.
So,
I can confirm that from my own, you know, at home. Shaving cream does have a reflection.
Like you need to shave, Sean. What about the teeth?
Baron, you're Fang Smith. You just started delving into it later on.
So,
all I gotta say is, from the point of view of the vampire community, if all vampires had fangs, I think the Fang Smiths would be out of business.
I see. So Fang Smith, this is an addition that people are adding because they add
Fang
because
envy.
Of the
I think it's more of an aesthetic accentuism, you know, like a lot of the ones, even on West Coast, put the contacts and the fangs in, and they're able to run around like that, you know, and it's more presentable, say, East Coast, West Coast, than it is up here in Alaska. With those, I remember one of your questions being, can you tell the difference on some people? Yeah, you can. But in my case, I usually can pick up on a saying before I can pick up on a sigh. I think sighs naturally have a manner of shielding themselves, where a saying, there's that moment of clarity where you can kind of just see them in a crowd, and I think they usually refer to that as a beacon.
Well, I think anybody who's had a terrible relationship can identify with this next question. And that is, are there vampires that don't know they're vampires? Because, you know, I think back maybe to past relationships, and I think maybe I dated some psychic vampires and I wasn't aware of it. And I think a lot of people can identify with that. And I know it sounds silly, but, I mean, realistically, is that a possibility?
Yes, I'm giving it. I was trying to give somebody else an itch to talk. There is a situation in some of us or this is the way I'll explain it is in carrying a gene, hereditary. Sometimes, you know, things skip a generation. Sometimes things, you know, go full bore, like a ginger. But some of these issues usually don't happen to you till, you know, you reach certain ages. Occasionally you have people that don't awaken until later in life, these late bloomers. Some of those late bloomers are full shit, but that's just me. Some of them are legit, and it's just, I think, more of along the lines of the strengthening of the vampirism that's in them, that's just like it's growing still. But in the beginning, a lot of us have no clue that this is what's in a, you know, what's inside. And something happens, somebody says something, or, you know, over a period of time, things develop. And, you know, the people start figuring out. Like, for instance, a psychic vampire, or even some of the hybrid vampires, start feeding unconsciously. So they're feeding off the people around them unconsciously, or just the people in their life, and they're not really thinking about it until eventually they realize what they're doing, and then they start trying to be more ethical about it, usually.
So is there a community of vampires that is going around trying to help these people realize who they are?
There's they always try. Been something.
They try. When I got into the community, it was online. I had entered the community through JP. I was practicing PsyVamp psychic feeding online through people's photos, and it was an easier way to connect that way. But I didn't call it psychic vampirism. I was actually chalking it up to a manner self-styled Satanism. And it wasn't until later, probably about 2007, 2008, that it was pointed out to me, hey, you know what you're doing is you're a vampire. You're feeding off these people. And, you know, looking back at a lot of the things that I had been going through as a teenager, a preteen, it all started making sense.
I see. So, you know, with that change, do you believe in the devil? I mean, is that still a factor here, or is that out?
I still dabble in the occult, not as much as I'd like to. A lot of things have happened, you know, a day life is occurring. This was back then, I had just got divorced. And it was kind of a repressed item that I could not practice while I was married.
I see.
So, you know, with a day job and trying to take care of other things, it just kind of put itself on the back burner.
So you're just like anybody else.
The occult side of everything.
You're just like anybody else. You had to give up what you love for.
I don't call it Satanism anymore.
For a day.
And I don't associate it with Satanism.
I see. So, you know, you say that there are people who psychically feed. Are there... I guess we're coming up on commercial break, so I'm going to throw this out there, and we'll see how far we can get into this. Are there, because somebody who's psychically fed off of somebody's misery, when they psychically feed, what are they feeding off of? All sorts of different emotions, or?
Emo vamps.
It doesn't necessarily have to be an emotion. There's some psychic vampires that just drain somebody, and they can drop. They don't even have to be conscious that somebody's feeding on them.
Oh, I see.
What happens to a person who is fed upon? Psychically, I mean.
Yeah, it's easy.
Well, in some cases, for me, they usually get really tired. Mm. They can get tired. There's been a couple times when they would get very disoriented. I even had an ex-girlfriend accuse me of heart palpitations because I was feeding on her too hard.
How far could you push that, in theory?
Well, let's come back to that question.
I don't know.
Well,
I'd like to find out one day, actually.
Hang on. We're coming up on our final commercial break here. We'll be right back. You're listening to Radio Wasteland.
I'm a vampire, babe. Sucking The Shasta College Agriculture, Natural Resources, Horticulture, and Equipment Operations invite you to their annual fall showcase and fundraiser, Harvest Fest, Saturday, October 7th at the Ross Ranch, adjacent to Shasta College. Starting at 4 p.m., you and your family can tour the Shasta College farm in a draft horse-pulled wagon while hearing about various projects taking place on the farm, as well as learn what some of the students have been learning on the farm during the past year. Festivities begin at 6 p.m. under the Big Tent with delicious locally grown food, Shasta College raised chicken and roast pig, beer and wine, live dancing with the Billies, as well as silent and live auctions. All proceeds from this fun family event will directly benefit Shasta College Ag and Natural Resources students. Tickets can be purchased in advance for $35 per person or at the door for $40 per person. Purchase tickets from Shasta College Agriculture and Natural Resources faculty and students or online from Eventbrite.
Redding Concrete is proud to help bring high school football to the radio here on KCNR 1460. Redding Concrete is your local ready mix concrete provider. Exceptional customer service and a quality ready mix product at competitive prices is our primary goal. Redding Concrete, located at 16855 Clear Creek Road. Give them a call at 530-244-7593 for your next concrete pour. Redding Concrete, serving you with a quality ready mix product.
I think one great benefit to having a Turtle Bay membership, I love that it's one place we can go to and bring our family, and there's something for everybody. There's activities for our one-year-old to do, and there's also exhibits and things for our six-year-old to do, and it's just a good variety of things for all ages.
We're members of Turtle Bay because I think education is really important, and I think kids need to learn that they can learn out of the classroom and learn in real life, and I think Turtle Bay brings that experience to them as they can see things that they see out and about outside of school and learn something.
Join Aaron Ryan, Bill Cundiff, and Bob Martin for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon till 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than the mainstream media sound bites.
Here on KCNR 1460 AM, we've got the experts on politics, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, property rights, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
The archives are always available online at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. And we welcome your suggestions for future topics and guests at wethepeopleradio.us. We the People, now on Sundays from noon till 2 on AM 1460 KCNR.
Hear us streaming 24/7 at KCNR1460.com.
Back to Radio Wasteland. We're here with our guests, Baron Vaughn, Damien, and JP.
Yeah.
So, Sean, you had a question.
Yeah. It sounds to me like needing to drink blood and all of that is really, when it comes down to it, just a pretty big inconvenience. Are there any benefits to being a vampire?
Well, I haven't been sick since 1994.
Oh, yeah.
That's not bad.
That's a benefit.
and I've always been stronger than people my size.
Really? How much
yeah,
stronger?
Yeah, Hero Press is that one. I can, you know, the little squeeze machines, I can max the machine out. I have a superhero grip.
Huh. The squeeze machine. What's the squeeze machine?
One of those grip tester things.
It's like a little tester, a little strength tester that you know is all. Usually in the arcade. You have to squeeze a certain amount of pressure, and the amount of pressure you squeeze causes you to get rated.
I see, anything from
really low to being a superhero grip, which is what I got.
So, you know, this might come across as a silly question. I don't mean it to, but we were talking during the break, like, you know, any demographic of people has a group that represents them. I mean, is there a vampire agenda? Is there a group, a collective of people trying to get the word out there?
There's a lot of people trying to say they're the king and queen and trying to say they're the immortal and they're this and they're that. And the reality is is if you can't enforce something, you really can't run something. Mm. And even then, those people that
it's are
like
there's too many houses and too many experts, or at least they think they are, trying to explain away a lot of what's going on. Well, you're a vampire because.
I see. So there's a lot of.
The problem with it is science isn't backing a lot of stuff up. And a lot of people trying to say, you know, this, the other, here's another thing. We're essentially human. Until science can prove otherwise, we get to be human. We just have an additional need. The easy definition of a vampire is somebody who needs blood and or energy from an outside source, usually another person. We lost JP, by the way. He was on the other
Yeah, we're going to try to get a hold of JP, but since what, we got like about 10 minutes or so left on the program, we kind of like, oh, you know, there
so,
you go.
So I bet you
for me, I'm kind of waiting out for the vampire litmus paper, you know, to test, you know, if it turns blue, then I'm a vampire. If it turns pink, I'm not. If it turns green, I'm a zombie.
Like,
you know, he's probably just run with the rainbow there.
So, you know, when you're feeding off of somebody, are these, you know, once you're aware now that I am a vampire and now I need to feed and I'm going to be somewhat ethical about this, do people volunteer for this or?
Yes.
You still got to be careful who's volunteering. You could have the next job volunteering and turn around and say, you know, I'm going to turn you in for assault or something. So, of course, you know, you want to be discreet, and there's got to be a kind of a donor-vampire relationship going on. So, you know, there has to be an agreement between the two.
So I can see with the blood that being some sort of fetishism for people or something like that. But with the energy, are you dealing with people voluntarily putting themselves in that situation as well?
Yeah, sometimes you do get those.
Hmm.
A lot of times I kind of find myself feeding without really realizing it. And, like, i.e. my ex-girlfriend, with the whole, you know, you think about, in some cases, if you think about it too hard or think about somebody or you're emotionally attached, you can find yourself feeding off them real easy.
I see. So,
unfortunately, blood doesn't work that way, so
right.
I'm asked out.
right. So this was actually...
Can't do it constantly. I have to go out there and do it myself.
This was actually the question I was going to ask that was potentially somewhat silly. But are there, you know, like I said, a lot of my knowledge on this comes from movies and books. And, of course, I'm very well read when it comes to Anne Rice. Are there famous...
Anne Rice is way cooler than real life.
Oh, well, yeah, I know. Of course, it wouldn't be a good book if it weren't. But are there famous vampires?
Except for the gay stuff.
Are there famous
vampires? Not gay.
Well, I mean, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of gay vampires. It takes all kinds.
Yeah, but not all of us. Like,
right.
Are
there famous vampires? Are there, like, people in positions of power that you guys know of? Or
beyond,
celebrities that you guys know of that are vampires?
Well, I'll go ahead and mention the presidential candidate, only because he openly moved around in the vampire scene. But how vampiric he is still questionable.
That's Are you talking Trump?
Starkey.
Are you saying Trump?
No, Jonathan Starkey.
Oh, okay. I was going to say I thought vampires were, you know,
that
better
guy ran
looking
for president
than Trump.
under the vampire, which is taken whatever kind of weird party that he created, and now he's supposed to be just a Republican for some reason. The only credit I'll give him is that I did drink blood with him. So, granted, it was blood wine, and it was at my club in Hollywood when I was running it. I used to run.
I think you mentioned there was also that we were just talking about him not too long ago. Twice he's played vampires, even though he is a vampire. Do you remember who we were talking about?
Twice he played vampires, even though he is a vampire. An actor?
Yes. And it's someone Damien's familiar with. I totally spaced his name.
What movie?
No clue. Damien knows.
One of my... Yeah, I'm the movie person. I carry a lot of movie trivia in my brain.
Well, that's all right.
Are you talking about my friend that lives out here in L.A.? I think he moved back to L.A. He was in the Kindred the Embrace, the one real vampire, the whole vampire TV show.
Yeah.
The fun part is that he is gay, and he played a role that was like you couldn't tell it. You couldn't tell that he was gay at all.
My dad played that role his whole life, frankly. all right, we're coming up on the end of this show. You know, how can people find out more about you if they're interested? Do you guys have a public presence where you're willing
well,
to
share
with people?
Well, the people we're talking to today are admins of the Real Vampire Networks, but Baron there is connected to, and his thing solo is Alaska After Dark. Me, they could just look up my name and find me on Facebook and whatnot.
Why don't you give your full name so they have something to search? Give your full name then, if that's the case.
Yeah, go ahead. It's Damien Sebastian Nightwalker, and okay. I am Native American, for those people who wonder. And I was the original person as Damien Sebastian Nightwalker, not to be confused with that lady's book character that she created in 2008. Which I was already Damien Sebastian Nightwalker well before then.
Huh. Crazy. All right. Well, thank you very much for being on the show. You know, I really appreciate it. This has been a topic that we were really interested in having. I hope to have you guys back on again and find out
some
more.
Well, that might be something you have to do if you want to get more information, because there's so much information that we can give you that there's a lot.
Yeah, well, I was definitely feeling that. You know, we go into these shows, and a lot of people think they need to be ready. They need to be ready, but an hour flies by, and it flies by really fast. You know?
Yeah, well, the quick thing is we don't fly. We don't shapeshift. Even the people who say they're werewolves or Therians really don't shapeshift. We're not evil. We're people just like everybody else. We just have some necessities that we have to do, and a few of these necessities seem to boost a few things. For some of us, not all of us are like me. Like, not all of them are strong, or whatever. Some of these people, they start off in life very sick, and I think they have to take energy probably just to keep whatever sickness they have at bay. But the sun doesn't bother us. That was something that was actually added in 1922 in the movie Nosferatu. That's actually not a real vampire, or even folklore vampire trait. The eyes don't change color. That's why people wear contacts. Not all of us have fangs. Some of us do, but those of us who don't, they can buy them.
All right. Well, thank you for being on the show. You've been listening to.
Oh, most of them are allergic to garlic. I am myself, but not everybody.
All right. You've been listening to Radio Wasteland.
I'd like to mention something real quick. If I could plug a book for anybody who's listening who wants to educate themselves on vampires, on the modern vampires, pick up Joseph Laycock's Vampires Today. The Truth About Modern Vampirism. If you can find it, you can probably find it on Barnes & Noble or your local bookstore. But it's very educational. It's probably better one of the better than the stuff written by actual vampires or people that claim to be vampires, by the way.
Sounds
it's
good.
It's academic.
Yes. All right.
All right. Focus on those.
Well, thank you for being on the show. You've been listening to Radio Wasteland.
The news is brought to you on KCNR, Shasta, Redding, by Tobacco and Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store.